Cheering at pro wrestling shows in Japan is back, and 2023 is already shaping up to be a big year in the history of pro res. That's why you should listen to the Emerald Flow Show. From the Royal Road to the Green Mat, Paul and Gerard take you into the world of All Japan Pro Wrestling and Pro Wrestling NOAH. Not only do we analyze events, but we examine business, who is getting over, what angles are working or not. Occasionally, we take a look at other Japanese promotions like DDT and Zero One. So if you're looking for more coverage of the world of Japanese wrestling, check out the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on all of your favorite podcast apps.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain on the track when we unite and stick. This isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain on the track when we unite.
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined once again by JD by Gotta Leave. How you doing, JD?
Dude, we have been off schedule so much in the last like 30 days. It's been just nuts.
Yeah. Last week you were off, and then like the week before we were together, and then but the week before that I had to take off. I had an emergency, and then I think at one point I brought in Warren too. Yeah.
Yeah. Then the week before that was when my dad died, so I was off. So it's been, we've done like two shows together in the last like 6 weeks. It's been kind of nuts, actually.
Yeah, like at least this Thursday show, we've been knocking out our overtime show pretty consistently. So that's been good, like for the Patreon. But this show, for some reason, like Thursday has just been tough on us the last month.
Well, Andy had surgery last week. Like I said, my dad died. You had a thing pop. Like it's just been kind of crazy. As I do say so myself, we might have had one of our best overtimes ever this past Sunday when we recorded.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, like overtime. So here's what JD and I typically do. We'll record this show, and then the show will end, and then I'll create a new stream, and then JD and I will go right into another show immediately afterwards. But by that time, like JD specifically is pretty exhausted. It's still early where I'm at, but like JD's pretty exhausted. But we were knocking out really good shows for a long time. We were doing a lot of our classic stuff. We're doing classic deep dives, all that stuff. I would take copious amounts of notes. Well, since our Sting series ended, we've been kind of like moving towards doing some Sunday shows. And we did a show this past Sunday where we just like basically read news out of the Observer and stuff that we didn't get to talk about on our show that I didn't get to talk about last week on the solo show. Some stuff had come out over the weekend. We were able to talk about that, and it turned out it was pretty fucking good.
Mike, let's not lie to the people. There's been multiple times in the last month where I have fallen asleep on the stream. Like, yeah. It's happened a couple times where I've been sitting here with you, and I'm like, it's been a little rough on me. But, you know, hey, I love talking to you.
Yeah, it's still really early where I'm at, but that might be me, man, because I got up before 4 a.m. this morning. I just had stomach pain, and I had to poop. Like, you know, no, you know, I'm getting old, and so that stuff happens. So anyway, I woke up, you know, probably like 3:30, and but I was planning on getting up at 4:30 anyway to go work out, do like a garage workout, you know. And so I was like, well, I'm already up, and I just like pooped my brains out. So let me knock out this pre-workout, just not like the crazy stuff, just some like BCAAs with like, it's like enough caffeine that's like a cup of coffee. So it's not that much. I can't do like crazy pre-workout. So I took my pre-workout, but the problem was I come downstairs from my bedroom, and I'm in my underwear, and I'm like, oh crap, I left my gym clothes in my bedroom, but I don't want to go back into my bedroom because I'll wake up the wife, right?
Wife.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like in my underwear. I was like, oh, you know what? I actually have an extra set of gym clothes in my backpack. And I scurry around looking for my backpack. Well, turns out I left that in the back seat of my car. So it's like 4 a.m. at this point, and I'm like in my underwear. Sorry for the visual, people. Don't hang with it. Trust me. So I'm like, okay. So what I do is I wrap a towel around my southern region there, and I go outside of my neighborhood. This is a military neighborhood, like super. It's like Mayberry where I'm at. like super family friendly, kids are running around all the time. But it's like 4 a.m. So I'm like, nobody's going to come out. So I go out to my car and I grab my backpack and I put my backpack on. And as I do that, I got my hands up here, the fucking towel falls off and I'm just like in my underwear. And then I look up in my neighbor's house and their garage lights on. I'm like, holy shit. So I'm like, this person is lower ranking than me and like works in the same unit. So I'm like, oh shit. So I'm like, oh, I put my towel back on. And like, thankfully they just had forgot to turn their light off overnight. So the garage light was on the whole night. So I ended up running back into the house, put my gym clothes on, and I got a pretty good workout in. But because I got up so early, I'm freaking exhausted right now.
You know why you're a better person than me, Mike?
Because you would not have put the towel on.
Oh, I'd have just gone right out to the car with the draws and just kind of.
Yeah, but you don't work with like faculty and students in your neighborhood, right? Like for me, yeah. Like I work all around people that I see every day.
No, I live near hillbillies. So if they're passing That's judgment it. On me any day, every day anyway. So.
Right. Yeah, you're probably pretty tame compared to them. So.
A little bit. Sometimes we don't agree much, but yeah. That's funny. I have not been at the gym much this week. We're on spring break and, life has revolved around, you know, the kid had tonsil surgery on Friday, tonsil and adenoid surgery. I learned something. Mike, did you know that tonsils grow like belly buttons?
I think you taught me on Sunday. I think
that did we do this on Sunday? I don't remember,
but Voices of Wrestling people have not heard this. So feel free.
So I'll go through this again. I can't remember who I'm using my material anymore. So tonsils are like belly buttons. Some are innies and some are outies, right? My kid had innie tonsils, like his tonsils grew inward toward his throat. So when they removed them, they were even bigger than they thought. And his adenoids were taking up like 30% of his nasal cavity, right? So it was crazy how much space they actually cleared to the point where I don't recognize my son's voice at the moment.
Wow.
Because there's all this extra space now and his jaws are kind of swollen, so they don't talk quite normal and it takes a little while to get to that. So it's been interesting. But anyways, life has revolved around getting him his meds and the wife and I have both been off work this week. So my going to the gym has not been great. So I've just been hiking with the dog to get in shape. It's been, but one of the guys in my coaching staff, we have this young guy fresh out of college, you know, and he's doing the hard 75 and starting that. I'm like, what's that? And he's like, oh, it's this workout challenge, workout twice a day, 45 minutes a day. Can't drink, can't do anything like da, 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 da. And I'm like, well, I got that first part down. So basically I'm like, that's a piece of cake. And then it's like, you got to read, it's 10 pages a day. And I'm like, okay. So again, for me, I'm like, I'm in, I'll do this 75 days, start April 1st. Ends on the 15th of June. I'm like, I'm just basically finding another workout in to get a day, not a problem. So I'm actually kind of excited to jump into this. I try to get the rest of the guys on our staff to jump in with me, and nobody else was interested in doing it. Yeah. And I'm like, you guys can't not drink for 75 days? Like, what is it? We don't want to eat, right? Like, what's going on? Nobody's interested in doing this with me? It's a challenge. It's fun. All right, fine. I'm doing it by myself.
You know, I'm going to look up the Murph Challenge. Have you ever heard the Murph Challenge? I think it might.
I know it's a CrossFit thing, right?
It kind of is, but it's not like super crazy and like it's like an Air Force specific. But last year for I think Memorial Day, a lot of people in my unit did it. I just wasn't a part. I just didn't know about it, so I didn't get a chance to go over there and do it. But I think we're gonna try to do that. I'll look up the workout and I'll send it to you. But it's supposed to be pretty big. Yeah. You know what? We got somebody in the chat, and I want to give them a shout out. David Hadley is in the chat. We typically, it takes a little bit for the chat to get popping, but David Hadley says, I start a new job on Monday. I begin corrections officer training for the Missouri Department of Corrections.
Congrats.
Shout out to David. Yeah. Congratulations, my man. That's big a hell congrats. Of a trade. So swig of water for the working man, David Hadley.
I got a nice tea here. So
Yeah. Good for you, man. I had some friends that worked. So there's actually a town in Missouri called Licking. Kind of like I've been like, there and it seems perverted to me, but yeah, it's called Licking, Missouri.
Licking, Missouri. That's
and there's a prison title. There. I hope he's not going to that prison. I know people A that work there and B that live there that have been like, sequestered for a good chunk of their life.
I got some buddies back here in Illinois that work corrections and for both county and state level stuff. So much respect to you, sir. I could not do that job, although I work in a public high school. So, you know, what's the difference?
Yeah, and I have to chase around airmen all day. So it's kind of like being a corrections officer almost. Yeah, but
you're the family now. We are all together.
Yeah, Yeah. Shout out David, man. If you guys are in the chat gets popping. Let us know what we do for a living. I love stuff like that. Like giving people mm-hmm. shout outs for what they do for a living. But I also, where I want to get the party started tonight, Becky Lynch. Now she was on Ariel Helwani's show earlier this week, the MMA hour, and told Ariel Helwani a bunch of stuff. And one of the things that she had told him whenever she was promoting her book is that her contract is expiring in 2 months. Now, of course, a lot of the AEW diehards already started making the graphic that Rebecca Quinn is All Elite, and they're already on fire for it. They're after it. They want this to happen. JD, what say you? Do you think I'm gonna put this to the chat too. I want everybody involved in this. A, does she actually end up hitting free agency? Right. So A, does she hit free agency? B, does she leave WWE? And C, does she go to AEW?
Me first. Does she hit free? I'm going to say no. I'm saying that she is going to tempt the waters and say that she's interested and drive her price point up, which she should. That's smart. That's good business. Now, let's hypothetically say she did go into free agency. If she does go into free agency, there's only one place she's going to go, and that would be AEW. I don't think they should sign her if that were to happen.
JD, and I'm not trying to disparage anybody. I'm not trying to disparage. I don't want the Sasha crew to come after me.
Since when has that been a concern on this show?
Well, it's like, it's like saying with all due respect, like the next thing you say is probably gonna be pretty rude. So
respectfully.
Yeah. With all due respect to the Sasha crew, to the Monet crew, and this is not her fault, by the way, but has she been a driver? I know she's only been there for 3 weeks, but has she been like a significant driver of like business and television ratings and stuff? Maybe we'll find out on her first pay-per-view, but so far, would you say that she's like been like a needle mover?
Not in television ratings. Television ratings have been not great, honestly.
No.
Since she came in. Now, granted, they got stuff going on. Like
Yeah.
You're bad. Like last night, opening night baseball is going on, and like, you know, the NCAA tournament. So there's stuff, but I don't know. She sold some good tickets in Boston, and the next week they sold some tickets in Toronto. They did not sell a lot of tickets in Quebec, but it's fucking Quebec. Who cares? Yeah. So
She clearly moved the needle in Boston, right? Edge and Christian moved the needle in Toronto. I'm gonna give them the credit for that one. I think that house was sold based on their feud. And then of course they go to Quebec City and look, the numbers like technically were up over what they normally have been doing, like their average, but you know, they were in such a big arena. It looked like, you know, death warmed over. It was pretty bad. But so what I'm saying is that it's been proven outside of CM Punk, no matter who Tony Khan brings in, it doesn't really do anything. Like the greatest thing that could ever happen to Tony Khan is for WWE to like start sucking really bad again. You know what I mean? But when they're just on fire right now, and when they're on fire and when they're putting out some shows and giving you stuff that you've been wanting them to give you for a long time, like that's like your main thing. You're probably not even going to give number two, number three, number four, number five, even an opportunity, because the number one company has so many hours of television going on, you're probably going to devote a lot of that time to them. You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter. Like, so say Becky Lynch leaves, right? And we talked about it on Sunday night in overtime with the Francis Ngannou analogy, the TKO, you know, way they do business. They let their world heavyweight champion just walk, and their business has only gone up, right? So say they do, and he hasn't done any business for Bob. Well, I'm gonna say he hasn't really done any business for boxing other than just getting a Saudi payday with the Fury fight, the Joshua fight, and we haven't seen him do anything with PFL yet because he just hasn't had a fight yet. But I assume that he's not gonna be a big business driver for them either. I think the same thing applies here to a lot of the WWE talent. Like they'll probably just let them walk, and then they can go right into AEW, and AEW is never gonna get their return on investment, and that's just the way it is.
No, and if you're Tony Khan, you don't care because it's a startup. Very rarely does a startup, even in year five, make money back on its investment. That's just the way it is. But I don't think they need her, realistically speaking. Like, this isn't Becky Lynch of 2015 or 2018, excuse me. And we're seeing that with Mercedes, and she has like a dedicated fan base, right? And she has people that are excited for her. I don't know, man. The only way AEW is going to go up is if they just start working on themselves. Like, I really think last year they tried so hard to be WWE, and it just turned a lot of fans off. And now they're kind of rediscovering themselves, and their hardcore base is excited again. But, you know, everyone who isn't is being served by WWE. And quite frankly, I think these are necessary growing pains. The only way you're going to really grow is by building your own fans, not worrying about siphoning off their fans. That's all it can be. Yeah. Like, you have to look in your own house and take care of your own stuff, water your own plants, mow your own grass, and then just let it go, let it breathe, and don't freak out that you're not keeping pace with them. The worst thing you can do is, well, one of the worst things that happened to them was WWE got so bad before they got good. Mm-hmm. Right, it truly was darkest before the dawn over there, and they're doing good. But wrestling is cyclical, you know. Eventually, they'll stop being as hot, and I don't know when. But I mean, like, maybe things would have been different if The Rock doesn't come back. But for a long time, they're going to be able to do those kind of things. So all Tony Khan can do is just take care of his own stuff, build his own stars, and just worry about himself. Like, I wouldn't sign Becky Lynch.
Yeah. AEW needs to be worrying about AEW shit. Don't be focused on what WWE is doing, right? And I honestly, like, if I were AEW, I wouldn't even worry about competing with WWE at all, because that's like, you know, fighting an uphill battle against yourself. Like, you're just not. I know he has, like, technically his family has more money than them, but you're like, you're getting into a battle. You're just not going to win. Just stay the course. Keep cranking out great shows. That's what they're doing. Right. Mm-hmm. And then if free agents come available, like, don't feel like you have to get into a bidding war and overspend for them. And I know that's like, talent doesn't want me saying that. Talent wants you to get into bidding wars and overspend for them. But I don't feel like you need to get into this big competition with a lot of these free agents that are coming down the pike. Look, Drew McIntyre still hasn't signed. You know, I'm sure he's going to want to talk to Tony Khan, even though he's basically prepping for like a feud with CM Punk later this year. Like, that deal's probably been verbally agreed to, but apparently it hasn't been signed yet. I think there's a rumor out there that Sheamus might be hitting the market too. If I'm Tony Khan, just like, you know what, man, I got a stacked roster. Let's just try to leverage these people and figure this out. And he's also got an aging roster. I'd start trying to build up some of their young core talent and get them ready to take over one day, because a lot of them just aren't yet. Go ahead.
I'll say, I think that's what they're doing. I think you're seeing the push of Swerve Strickland. Right, they're trying to make him the guy. They're pushing Will Ospreay, trying to make him the guy. We're seeing a nice little competition between the two of them to see who is going to be the star of AEW going forward. They're both guys in their early 30s, and I think that's what you need right now. Like, we're seeing Hook get a little bit of a push finally. We're seeing them start to take a look at the younger guys. Now, granted, you need older guys, and I think having Adam Copeland as a veteran that you've been relying on a lot lately, who's been doing really good work, you know, who, again, might not be a great draw on his own, but when the market leader is so dominant that people are loyal to the brand, it doesn't matter. And this is what WWE has crafted for years, and it's going to take more than 5 years to change narratives. Like, again, Tony Khan just got to make his fan base happy and understand that there's going to be bumps in the road, and not worry about being Eric Bischoff, basically.
Yes. Yeah. Don't worry about that. In fact, he's already outlasted Eric Bischoff. And I want to get into Eric Bischoff actually here in just a moment. But JD, did you hear this other quote that Becky Lynch stated on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani?
No.
What
did she
say? She's got the TNA fans riled up.
Oh God, what did she say?
My goal was maybe I can get in.
Hold on.
And I was about to move over to America to do a personal training diploma and in Orlando. And my goal was maybe I can get into TNA, because the way that they were treating women there was so much better than the way that they were treating women in WWE. So it's like, I can make a splash there. But when I got old and...
So she says that, and sure enough, her contract is expiring in 2 months. So we got some of the TNA diehards, some of the folks that thought that maybe CM Punk might be coming to WWE or to TNA, that knew that they had actually made an offer to Will Ospreay, and that maybe at one point they were talking with Mercedes Moné. Guys, I love you. I think you're all fine people for the most part. There's some of them that are not, but for the most part, you're very fine people. She ain't coming to TNA. So just get it out of your skulls right now. Like that's just something that's just literally never going to happen. What she said was accurate at the time, probably over, you know, what, maybe 15 years ago when she was coming to America and getting her start, like, you know, Gail Kim and Awesome Kong and all these other, like, they were absolutely treating their women's division 10 times better than what WWE was doing. But take a look at that women's division right now. There's 8 people in it. There's mm-hmm. 8, right? Maybe 9 or 10, but it is dire straits right now. They got Jordynne Grace, they got Masha Slamovich, and they got nothing after that. So, guys, she is not coming. She's going to re-sign with WWE, and if she does not, she's very likely going to head over to AEW, and Rebecca Quinn will be All Elite, and she'll be standing face-to-face with the CEO with about 815,000 fans watching on television, right? Like, that's what we're going to get. Like, mm-hmm. And she'll be happy with that, I'm sure, but she ain't coming to TNA, so stop it, guys. Stop it.
I'm sorry. TNA, when they fired, and again, I can be a pretty harsh critic on TNA. Yours comes from a place of love. Mine always comes from a place of what? TNA has decided they don't want to be big time, which we talked about it in Bracer Impact and into this. I was saying, I don't think they really want to be players. That was kind of my stance from this the whole time we had our show. And by getting rid of Scott for spending too much money, they're telling you what they want to be. They want to be MLW.
With a weekly show on a small cable channel. Like, they're just happy being content for access. That's it. Yeah. And Fight Network, and they really like their app. They're doing well with. They feel like they're doing well with their app. They're happy with their subscription numbers.
But here's the thing: that's why Anthem bought them was to be content on access. They didn't want, like, and again, we talked about, like, we used to joke about Gerard being big new distribution deal. Gerard, I say there is no distribution deal coming. This is the distribution deal. This is what they want.
Yeah.
Right. This is like Anthem wants this to be what TNA is. So, I mean, like, you guys have to accept the fact that TNA just wants to be what they are. They don't want to be TNA of 2010, 2011, right? They almost died being that. Thank you, Eric Bischoff.
Bischoff with another winner.
Yeah, he's got a string of hits. It's just what it is. She ain't coming to TNA.
And honestly, I just wanted to say that there was not that many people saying it, but it was like the people that were saying, like, the usual suspects.
The usual suspects, you know? I'm sure I can pick a couple of them out.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is not like a real serious conversation that's happening on the internet. It's just like a handful of people. And most other people are just like celebrating the fact that she spoke accurately about TNA a long time ago versus her current employer, right? So I think that's good.
Hey, David Hadley's got an interesting post I think you should bring up. I think we should talk about this.
Which one? The smaller arena one or the CM Punk one?
The CM Punk one.
Okay. Let's do that. David, now JD, be careful, because you could end up in prison in Missouri and he could be your corrections officer. So
if I'm in prison, if I wind up in prison in Missouri, I have lost the plot and I deserve what's coming my way. We'll leave it at that. So Stanley Hadley says CM Punk really did a number on AEW's image. I agree with you. I think that's a big part of what's happening right now, is he turned his fan base against that company, right? It's really weird because those weren't really AEW fans. Those were CM Punk fans. And there's not a lot of talent in professional wrestling that can do that and have that kind of an impact on people. He did, which I get, Mike, this is the reason I wanted to bring this up. It begs the question. Was it a mistake for Tony Khan to sign CM Punk?
No. I think you have to go for it. I don't personally live my life like that with like a ton of regrets. Like, hey, you tried something and it didn't work out, right? They're back to where they were before they got CM Punk, right? Like, and honestly, their pay-per-view numbers, like, they're down when CM Punk was there, but they're up from before CM Punk came, CM Punk came and then knocked them over that 200,000 mark, but they were hovering right around 100,000 for their pay-per-view buys. And now they're up, like, you know, anywhere from 125 to 140, 150, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as an average, right? So, mm-hmm. So CM Punk was a part of it. So a lot of those people stayed, right? So I don't see it as a mistake at all. Like, I know CM Punk had a little bit of a reputation, but the guy was gone he was gone out of pro wrestling for 7 years, right? And he did have a little bit of, but he's older now. and Tony had gotten to know the guy. So he trusted that it wouldn't blow up. And then it did blow up. But guess what? You tried it. That happens sometimes when you bring in big stars. A lot of them are very temperamental. They're psychotic. A lot of them are sociopaths, right? And especially when they're like creative and they're athletes at the same time. So you got to deal with like this bipolar behavior from a lot of them. Sorry, JD, no offense. So
who are we talking about here?
But you have to manage that personality. I don't think Tony Khan knew exactly what he was getting into when he brought in CM Punk and was hoping that he wouldn't have that issue. And it turns out that Tony Khan wasn't up for the job. He didn't have the leadership skills to manage him. He didn't know that until he found out, right? And now he knows, right? So I don't think he made a mistake by bringing him in, right? It sucks it didn't work out, but I was glad that he had him.
No, I agree with you. I think that you have to experiment and you have to grow. And I think this is kind of the TNA thing we were just talking about, is Anthem doesn't want TNA to grow, so they keep them at a certain point, right? When you grow, like we talk about in sports, and I'm sure you guys talk about this in military too, is that having that growth mindset, right? Where you're willing to learn and willing to change and willing to like go outside yourself, because it's the only way you can learn. And part of that growth mindset is failure. And like I get frustrated. I'm trying to make changes in my own life right now. I'm doing a lot of reading. I'm trying to like better myself where I'm not living in a state of frustration. You know, if I can save it for this show, because I know it's funny, I'll keep it for the show. But I'm like, in my real life, I'm trying not to live in frustrated states. So like, I understand why people who sit on the outskirts would look in and say, well, you shouldn't have done that because now look what happened. You know, but at the same time, you never give yourself a chance to improve if you're not willing to fail. And like, could you call the CM Punk experiment a failure? I don't know. I think there's debates on both ways. Ultimately, they did bring him back to pro wrestling. It did help AEW's bottom line in the short run. It did help them grow. And I think it puts them into a place eventually where they can learn and grow from it. Right. I think it was a noble experiment. I hope that Tony Khan learned something about being a people manager. I don't think anybody was harsher on Tony, but like from a constructive criticism point of view than you and I were, you know, because we shared a lot of our, you know, experiences with managing people when that whole thing was going on. So, I mean, I don't think it's a failure, but I can understand why some people would think that.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I'll tell you, like right now, like I am in charge of a pretty large, like, you know, I'm not like the king, right? But I'm like, you know, a couple notches down, but I'm kind of like a human resources guy right now for my unit. And we're like, you know, 150 deep, right? So I have like 150 people under me. And if somebody else, like if somebody had a problem in another unit and they're like, hey, Mike, would you take this guy on? Like he's like solid worker, but he's, you know, got personality issues. Think you can handle him? And I would say yes. I would be like, yeah, bring them over. Can I get something out of them? And then if it fails, it fails. But I would rather like try and fail than to have not tried at all. Right. I'm very much like take a swing type of guy. And that's what he did. He took a swing. He took his company to heights that nobody ever thought he would take. And then it failed. It blew up in his face twice. And then now he has taken his talents over to another promotion and he seems to be doing well. I mean, he's on the injured list again. He seems to be doing pretty well. Like his quarter hour is pretty insane this week. Hey, did you see the Drew McIntyre pro? Like, did you catch any of the clips on Twitter or anything?
I did. I think Muse sent it to us. Yes. It was pretty great. I'm not gonna lie. Great. It was pretty great.
I was like, I want to hate you for going there, but damn it, are you good?
Yeah, like Drew's whole thing with going to the bakery. I think he's an underrated personality. Like, yeah. I don't think Drew McIntyre gets enough love for just how personable he is. That was pretty, again, I'm not going to watch WWE content, but what I saw of that whole thing made me laugh. I had to tip my cap to him on that. So that worked.
One of the greatest lines in wrestling history is now, and it was just uttered on Monday. And I'm not talking about The Rock. I'm talking about CM Punk when Drew McIntyre said, I'm the chosen one. And Punk goes, who chose you? Say his name. Who is the guy that chose you? Which paragon of virtue is the one that chose you? Say his name. And Drew just has this awkward look on his face and then smartly like changes the subject. And he did a great job. But like you could tell Punk caught him off guard with that one. And it was tremendous. One of the greatest moments in wrestling history. I love it so much.
One best be ready on a live, when you're doing a live mic battle with the king.
In Chicago, of all places.
In Chicago, of all places. So, yeah, that's pretty great shit, actually. Can't lie about that.
And that's what I mean, like if WWE is doing stuff like that, like, it's going to be hard for AEW to catch a foothold, right? To gain any traction against them. So that's why I'm like, don't even, AEW, just worry about your doing your stuff, because there's nothing you can do when WWE's on fire. You just, you know, whatever you want to do. But
you got to be Jim Crockett, right?
Yeah.
You got to be Jim Crockett Productions. Do your shows. People like, they talk about the Hulkamania era and they like to ignore just how on fire Crockett was in 85, 86.
Yeah.
Right. And a good chunk of 87.
And then they overspent to try to keep up, and they just couldn't, right?
That was a mistake.
Dusty Rhodes was willing to spend $100,000 to make 70, right? Like, I think that was the old line, something to that effect.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the thing, is you can't go dick slinging with them, right? And I don't think they are right now. I think they've signed their free agents, and they've done a good job keeping them in the limelight, right? Osprey, Okada, and Mercedes are on TV every week now. And they feel like big stars. They feel like the right signees. They feel like the company is in a new direction. Like I said, maybe it takes a little while for business to catch up with where it is, but I'm so much happier with the show now than I was a year ago. So, you know.
Yeah. And the fact that the ratings haven't really reflected how good the show is, and obviously ticket sales. Bischoff didn't want to mention the last 2 weeks of ticket sales. He only wants to mention last night's show, of course, when he's arguing with Tony Khan.
Because it fits his narrative. And I'm so sorry that John Elba lost his job. I know we have to pretend, like I just said, I'm not going to do this, but I just really don't like that guy, because he tried to shit on you publicly.
Hey, it's in the show title. We're going for it, brother. We're going for it.
I don't like him. And I know I've got a friend of ours that is listening to this who was very nice to him publicly. But I don't like this dude, man. I just don't. I think he's smarmy. I think anyone that gives Eric Bischoff space to spread lies is a dangerous human being who is willfully stupid. And I just, the fact that your show is no longer a thing, I'm not going to shed tears for you, bro. Because, you know, you kind of empower stupid people, and I don't like it. So,
yeah, too bad. So, sad. Here's what JD's talking about. So John Elba, who's a guy that came after me. And so,
fucker.
Yeah, he tried to come after me. He tried to get my attention. It just didn't work.
So. I know. I pissed me off way more than it pissed you off. So,
yeah. And he comes across as such a pretentious dickbag. And I know I give him credit when he goes to the press conferences, because here's another reason why I'm disappointed in him. Because he's actually like a trained, like, media professional. He's like a trained journalist. And so,
what he does is so bad.
Yes. So, like, we hold him to a little bit of a higher standard, right? Because, like, he's worked real sports media, and here he is with this dickhead, Eric Bischoff, who is about as grifty as they can get. He has an entire podcast dedicated to try to undercut Tony Khan and insult Tony Khan's business, when he is one of the biggest failures in the history of pro wrestling.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking, maybe I can pull a Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs at Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. I was able to open an Arena Club slab pack, and I'll be honest, it was a lot better than what you normally do. Say you go to a card show and there's a random innocuous brown bag of cards, and yeah, you can open it and look, it's going to be junk. You know what I mean? Like, you know what you're probably going to get in those. Maybe you find that fun, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I like just opening up cards and saying, ah, hey, look at some random cards or whatever. But if you're really in this game to find value and find particular cards, it sucks to have to buy these mystery packs, and it ends up being, you know, almost nothing, you know, nothing of value. Not with Arena Club. You get a display, again, of all available cards, hit rates, grading, so you know that when you're opening up the slab pack, you are going to get something valuable. You are getting something good. And Arena Club, in addition to having those great slab packs we just talked about, is also a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, all that sort of stuff. But those Arena Club slab packs, man, they are revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. So again, sending these things off, it's going to be officially graded by Arena Club. And the Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. So right now, I've got a special offer here for Voices of Wrestling Network listeners. You can get 10% off of your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Now, that's a crazy offer. That's 10% off a $400 slab pack. $40 off right there. 10% off your first purchase. No matter what that purchase is, 10% off. Again, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet. arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase on Arena Club. And we thank them for sponsoring the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. What's going on, guys? This is Rich from the Flagship Podcast here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. If I could have a moment of your time, I'd like to tell you about one of our sponsors, Eufy Video Lock. Eufy Video Lock is a smart lock, a 2K camera, and a doorbell, all 3-in-1, offering you triple security. So you can have everything in one device rather than installing many pieces on your front door. But it's not just for security. The Eufy Video Lock is also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys, and you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated cameras. Some other great features we love about the Eufy Video Lock is it is easy to install and set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. Keyless entry, no more fumbling for keys when your hands are full. You never have to worry about kids losing keys or passing among renters. You also have 0.3 second fingerprint recognition and 1 second unlocking. Again, 0.3 seconds, it's going to recognize your fingerprints, and in 1 second, it's going to unlock. And with the AI self-learning chip embedded, the more you use it, the more accurate it will be. Also, no battery anxiety. You have a rechargeable battery in there that could last around 4 months, and you will get a low battery notification before it runs out. Passcode unlocking, a remote control with a 2K clear sight, see who's at your door, and control from anywhere through the Eufy app. With enhanced night vision, you can have optimized view even in the evening. You can also secure your package delivery by view and two-way audio. And then best of all, no monthly fee. A bunch of other brands out there are going to charge you a monthly fee. You have your recordings locally, and you never have to pay for storage. Customer service, Eufy's got you handled as well. They are on standby for you 24/7, so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by their professional customer service team. Contact them anytime by telephone, email, or live chat. Personally, as a homeowner, I love my Eufy Video Lock. I have the ability to see what's going on when I'm not home, when packages has arrived, and really the thing I love the most about it, the ease of being able to lock and unlock my doors without having to fumble with my keys, reach in my pocket, or wait, no, crap, they're in my backpack, all that sort of stuff. All this is happening while my dogs are barking at me. You know what? Not anymore with the Eufy Video Lock. I touch it. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition, 1 second. Doors unlocked, much, much easier. So if you want to jump on board with Eufy Video Lock, search Eufy Video Lock. That is E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Again, that's Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Like, he not only he failed in WCW, he succeeded for a little bit. The bigger chunk of that time was a massive failure, right? And I know we just got done saying, like, hey, failure is okay. You know, you got to take the swings. But this guy, like, he's failing at a high level, and he just doesn't seem to be accountable for it. Doesn't appear to learn anything. But so, and he wants to tell everybody else how they're failing, and that's how he's trying to live the rest of his life.
Oh, I hate it so much.
So he has this podcast with the dickhead, John Alba, called Strictly Business. Well, John Alba announces that the show is going off the air, right? So Tony Khan said sunsetting this fraud of a business podcast before the next AEW media deal is a wise choice. And I thought that was, we have a segment on here called Bad Tweets. Well, Tony Khan, This is the debut edition of Good Tweets, sir. Kudos to you. Good Tweets. Tony Khan, you just created a new segment on the Mike and JD show. I thought that was a wonderful tweet. Now, it gets even funnier because then after this, like I think like a day later, Eric Bischoff then announces that he is no longer doing the podcast with John Alba. He is doing a new podcast called Wise Choices, which means John Alba just got fired. Like it wasn't like he said, oh, Bischoff doesn't have the time to do the podcast anymore. I was like, no, he just doesn't want to do it with you. He's doing a different podcast. You got fired. So like you weren't even good enough to do a podcast with Eric Bischoff.
I fucking hate that guy. Just like he's so smarmy. Like, and again, he was the one guy that like when we were having a little bit of fun, as our Voices of Wrestling crew was having a little bit of fun when, you know, Nick Khan told everybody to go tweet something because we never got denials that happened. We just got, well, I didn't get told to do that. Oh, but you're not denying that somebody was. Sure. And again, it's like, you got your own thing. You got your own business, whatever. Like even that guy, that's just the nerd who just, I forget the super pro WWE nerd, Steve something or other, like whatever. He's doing his own thing. When you willfully empower liars and grifters, I don't like you.
Yeah.
And I'll call you out for it. I don't like you. And I don't like, and you get upset when people call you out for being a grifter. Sorry, bro. You grift.
Yeah.
And you got fired from grifting. You weren't even good at grifting.
Like how bad you have to be to get fired from grifting? Like you're not grifting enough. Like
you're not grifting enough. Controversy creates cash, but not enough controversy and not enough cash.
Hey, so somebody said this in the BFI chat earlier. Said I think it might have been Dobby.
I should get back in.
Yeah. Dobby said nobody keeps his haters in business better than Tony Khan, because Tony Khan replied to that tweet. And the next thing you know, Eric Bischoff has a brand new show where he's just going to continue to try to lay into Tony Khan anytime they take a dip in the ratings, which is the first thing he did was point out that they hit their like the lowest rating in like 3 years, which I mean, that sucks. Like, no, that's not good for anybody. Right. But
They did a shit night, but it was three.
Number three. Yeah.
It was number three. Like,
yeah,
I mean, ratings are, we said this before on the show 100 times. The ratings are going to continue to go down for everything on television. That's not live sports. It's gonna.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything is still.
Yeah. Not a good night for AEW, but like, they're not getting kicked off the air. so it's like, we don't need to like go crazy about it. But,
you mean like when WCW got kicked off the air?
Yeah. Like, when they got canceled by, they remain, I think, the only company in history to get canceled by a television station that owned them. Like, how bad do you have to be, right? Like Anthem had the opportunity to sell TNA for a dollar figure amount that was probably way more than what it was worth, and they said no. But WCW sold their company for TNA or TNT sold, or Turner whatever sold WCW for like $2.5 million.
Do you remember when AOL Turner Time Warner allowed Eric Bischoff to think he was going to be able to buy WCW just so they could leverage Vince into a better deal?
Genius.
Because I remember that.
Well, I would say genius, but the valuation of WCW like 2 years before they actually sold it was like $75 million or something like that. It was pretty crazy.
And they sold it. And they sold it for like $1 million. It was like $3 million, something stupid like that.
Go to patreon.com/themikeandjdshow. We did a whole podcast series about the WCW invasion of the WWF in 2001. And I think it's one of my favorite things we've ever done, where we actually pulled out like data and quotes and stuff from the Nitro book and the death of WCW. And I actually went through the Observers from 2001. It was really good stuff.
You want to hear something funny, Mike? Remember a few months ago, I told you I got interviewed by Guy Evans, the guy who wrote the Nitro book?
Yeah, about Randy Savage, right?
I got interviewed about Randy Savage. I found out what book it's going to be, a book co-written by Eric Bischoff.
Are you shitting me? Well, you know what's so funny is that Guy Evans was a major sponsor of Eric Bischoff's podcast. Because I actually liked 83 Weeks before he like went super anti-Dave, anti-AEW. Like before that, it was actually like, I enjoyed listening to him talk about that time because that's like my childhood, right?
Yeah, me too. All the Conrad shows are great until they try to be like Bruce Pritchard. And eventually they all try to be Bruce Pritchard.
And the thing is that none of them have the chops.
No.
And after a while, like Bruce Pritchard got old to me, but.
Oh, me too. I haven't listened.
Like his first like year and a half, I loved that show because he's just a good storyteller. He does voices, which I happen to enjoy, and he tells dirty jokes. So I was like, okay, I don't care that he's lying. He at least is funny. So I was fine with it. But then after a while, it got to be formulaic, and it's like Conrad would always steer him into saying something about Dave Meltzer. And it's like, okay.
Because Conrad likes selling t-shirts, and I get it. It's how he makes money. But I mean, like at some point, it's like everyone knows Bruce Pritchard's a liar, but you got some of these dumb baby boomers. No, actually Gen Xers. Dumb Gen Xers that just like think, well, he was there. Like it's the same kind of people that just like worship Vince McMahon and just think that, I don't know, man. Willful ignorance infuriates me.
Yeah. All right, guys, we have a ton of people in the chat, and I have not gotten to any of them.
Sorry.
Hey guys in the chat, we have super chats available now too, by the way, $2. So if you're not Patreon subscribers, you want to support the show, feel free to drop a super chat. That would help JD and I stay in business. I'd really appreciate it.
We have super chats.
We do have super chats available.
We should be pushing those more frequently.
I keep forgetting.
we suck at this, man.
I know. Let's see. So David says, talking about AEW, likely if there was a good smaller arena in the area, Quebec City, last night, they would have looked the way. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to Collision in Peoria in a couple weeks. Peoria is a small arena. Like, it should be a decent show down there.
Yeah. Name cannot be blank says no Rougeau. I think he's trying to say Rougeau. Rougeau, no Vachons. I think the Vachons are all dead. No Dino Bravo, also dead.
Also dead.
No chance in Quebec. You know who is alive and well? I've been seeing him on Twitter. I follow him on Twitter. Rick fucking Martel, baby. Rick Martel. Now, there is a rumor, and I don't know if this is true or not. And I probably shouldn't even say this. There's a rumor that TNA Slammiversary might be in Montreal. And if it's in Montreal this year, if TNA, if Anthony Chonchone does not make this happen, where he has Rick Martel escorting one Speedball Bailey down the ramp to go for the X Division title against Mustafa Ali, then they will have completely failed to sell the company. I'm booking it now. And then, of course, like Jacques Rougeau is still alive and PCO is in the company. What the Quebecers are right there. Bring them in. All right. So, sorry. That's my little TNA rant.
To be fair, if you're going to bring in Jacques Rougeau as a Quebecer, I want him to be an undead Quebecer. Yes, I want him to be like the corpse of the mob team so he can stand next to PCO because it's way funnier that way.
Yeah. And John Muse is in the chat. He says, hey. AEW has to build and follow a plan, do their thing. Yeah, just worry about AEW shit. IO Productions. So he's talking about Becky Lynch. He said it was a huge endorsement, and that's what I take it as. Absolutely. Like, but you're a reasonable person. Yeah, you're just a smart guy. Yeah. John Muse says you have to go back to All Out 2021. It was not CM Punk alone. Multiple factors were involved.
Oh yeah. Them roots was rotten at the time.
Yeah. So name cannot be blank said the bad faith actors, Cornette and Bischoff types, greatly limit AEW's growth, whether we want to admit it or not. There is a small segment of the audience that will refuse to watch them because they would rather listen to Cornette and Bischoff. I think actually Joe Lanza was the first one I ever heard point that out. He said, like, whether we like it or not, like, they do have a negative impact on the television show. But I don't think they're actively getting people to go to watch Raw or anything like that. I think they're just actively saying, well, AEW's so bad, you shouldn't watch it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see.
I get listening to Cornette. At least he could be, you know, charismatic and entertaining. Bischoff.
Yeah. But CM Punk is feeling the effects of admitting that he listens to Cornette. Probably not a smart move on his part. Like I even like tweeted out, I was like, bro, like, look, a lot of us still listen, but we just don't tell anybody, all right? Because like people will think that we're like all kinds of stuff. It's like, look, just because I listen to a guy's podcast doesn't mean I endorse some of his beliefs. Come on, give me a break. But Dan Goucher said Becky and TNA, they're happy they got AJ to sign. You know what? Now you're just being a jerk, Dan. Now you're just getting in my face. Did you hear about this, JD?
Did not.
Okay. So one of our stories that I wanted to get into, news stories, was that TNA today announced that they re-signed Ace Austin. And I was like happy about that. Because they just lost the Motor City Machine Guns.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, and there has been a rumor around that maybe Ace Austin was headed out the door. Nobody wrote that story, but it's like, hey, his contract is coming up. So, and he's been losing matches lately. So, okay, we know how TNA operates. He's probably out the door. Well, they announced that he re-signed and he's going to be around for multiple years. Like, okay, that's great.
Okay.
And then it quietly gets leaked, no announcement whatsoever, that AJ Francis has indeed signed with TNA. So we lost the Machine Guns.
And picked up Dollar General.
Dollar General is like a full timer with TNA, but they put it explicitly in his contract. He can go to MLW, which he's been working, and he can go to NWA, which he's been going. So they got that in the contract, but they forbid him from working AEW. So Tony Khan, don't you even fucking try. Okay. Keep your hands off of Dollar General. Okay. You can't have him.
Way to stick it to AEW, guys.
Hey, you know what? Like, I know people want me to come on here and crap on Dollar General, but what he's doing in TNA is actually fine. He's actually like, they flipped Rich Swann heel and he's like his manager. I'm like, he's actually really good at that. Like, that's a good role for him.
He's a giant manager. Okay.
Yeah. Sure. Well, he's just kind of like, he's like Suge Knight. He's like a big, like jacked up kind of hype man. All right. Type guy.
You know, Soul. You know what I mean? That was actually great. That was a great descriptor for, if you lived in the 90s, it's a great descriptor actually. So I'm in with that.
Right, and half my references are from the 90s. So
that's why I get them. That's why we have a show.
So, yeah, Machine Guns, sucks we lost them. We got to keep Ace Austin. That's great. And then, of course, Top Dollar. Sorry.
Batting 500.
King of the North. You know, King of the North, speaking of Tony Khan's Twitter, fucking Tony Khan loves this guy.
Does he?
Have you been following this? Tony Khan keeps quote tweeting and like
King of the North?
King of the North on, really? On Twitter.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is the king, right?
It is true.
So it makes sense. He is the king of Canada.
It is true. No, I haven't been. I've been off Twitter since I'm like not off, but I haven't been quite as active since Dad passed. I'm trying to work on my mental health and getting better.
I think that's a wise decision. And he also, but now he has heat with me. He said, "I want to make sure Mike is ready for Top Dollar match." You bastard! I hate you. All right.
Yeah, I'm not the one you got to worry about going nuts on the show, King.
Yeah. And then let's see. We got a lot of people in the chat tonight. Look who else is joining us.
Who's in
from
the
San Francisco?
Hey, baby Huey.
Thank you, baby. Hey. I love you, buddy.
Because you guys are awesome. Thanks, man. You're right.
We got it. We got to get baby Huey on the show, man. We got to
do
something
with
him. You know,
I did his show a few years ago when I was pushing a Kickstarter. By the way, I'll be doing that again pretty soon. So yeah. I'd love to have him back. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And then Baby Huey comes in with flex, name dropping. Says I interviewed Becky Lynch yesterday.
Hey, Huey, all over the place.
Yeah, don't hurt your back picking up that name you just dropped. Yeah.
by the way.
Yeah, well guess what? I interviewed Moose 3 years ago, so no, just saying.
I was with you. There wasn't as much to brag about. He lied to us.
Yeah, he bullshitted us the whole time.
Completely. First and last TNA interview I ever sat in on.
Yeah. Oh man, tons of people, and then we'll close it. Well, we're not closing out yet. We still have more to talk about. John Muse says, as long as Francis is outside the ring when the bell rings, TNA wins. He's actually, look, guys. I know you want me to just shit on AJ Francis. I got respect for anybody that leaves that WWE system and then goes out there and works every indie.
I agree.
Works every small promotion, lowers his price. He's out there trying to get better. And he's also on top of it. He's out there doing tons of charity work and kind of spreading the TNA name. Now, at first I was like wanting him to stop, 'cause like, I don't think it's a good idea that people know that you work for TNA, but he actually has been like helping. So like Cola, the Lodge, like guy's busting his ass. He's got my respect. Look, he's never going to be a great wrestler. It's probably never going to happen. But you know what? The guy, I think, is actually doing a good thing for TNA. I think he's a nice guy to have around. He's not going to be a top guy. He does undercard comedy stuff, and he's been and he flipped Rich Swann heel. So there you go. So I hate to be the guy that like to defend AJ Francis podcast, but damn it, I gotta say it. Gotta speak the truth.
As long as they keep belts off of him, I'm a happy camper. Hey man, this is the post Scott D'Amore era. You're gonna see a lot more stuff like this.
Yeah. You know what? So the only thing we have left to talk about is we already talked about a little bit, like when WWE is kind of giving the audience what they want, it's really difficult for AEW to gain traction. And one of the things that they have finally did on WWE television that they gave the audience, is one of the reasons why I kind of stopped watching them, is because I was like, man, you guys are so lame with this PG stuff. Is not only did they incorporate cuss words this week with The Rock and Cody Rhodes, but they actually had The Rock throw, they actually had The Rock throw Cody into like his bus, and he actually ran the razor across the forehead and got juiced. And then The Rock like took the blood and then wiped it over his weightlifting belt that had, that said Mama Rhodes on it. And probably the greatest angle that WWE's done in a decade, I would say, like easily.
Decade plus.
Decade. I mean, like The Rock is, as far as like television wrestling characters, there's literally nobody better than The Rock. There just isn't. Like nobody even comes close. Like he outshines everybody. Everybody is second to him. Like nobody even comes close, man. Like he has outshined Roman completely. He's swallowed him whole. And right now the biggest match in wrestling right now that they could possibly make is Cody versus The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard Joe Lanza's thing about the only person that he was talking about this on his flagship plus that The Rock is completely like Roman doesn't even matter anymore. Like people worried about Cody getting swallowed up. It's Roman that's gotten swallowed up and all this, and he's the non-factor.
I think The Rock is making Cody a bigger star.
I agree.
I think The Rock is, and everybody's like, oh, The Rock's not really a heel because they cheer him. But fucking look, it's 2024. It's a little different now, okay? Yeah. The Rock is still playing a heel character, but people like the bad guys. It's just the way it is now. The Rock is such an effective heel that he has turned Cody into like a mega babyface star, and he was already a great babyface.
Are you telling me that The Rock isn't a heel because people cheer him? Are these comments from 1998?
Yeah. It's just The Rock's always been that way.
It's just been The Rock.
Yeah, because he's a heel, but he's fucking hilarious.
Since day one. Yes. Not day one. Day one was bad. Day like four. Like this has always been. This is what The Rock, like since he became The Rock, they turned him because he was a heel that got over. But this has always been him. And let's be honest, Cody Rhodes booked this, right? This has Cody Rhodes written all over it. This whole angle, the wiping the blood on the weight belt. Like that's stuff he would have done in AEW 100%. Even in stuff
honestly,
he's done in like
If you told me he did do it in AEW, I'd be like, I can't remember every angle they ever did, but like you're like, oh yeah, he did that in AEW with Brody Lee. I'd be like, yeah, he probably did do that. Because yeah, it does sound like something he would do.
It's 100%. Like I read this and I'm like, dude, this is 100% Cody Rhodes behind this. I guarantee Cody and Rock got together and came up with this. I guarantee it. This is not Triple H booking. That is nothing like Paul Levesque. And don't give me Paul Levesque's the greatest booker of all time. Like he has booked nothing like this in the 8 years he's been working with creative in WWE and NXT. Like this is not him. This reeks of Cody Rhodes. And it was good. I saw that on Twitter. It was good.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to give Triple H credit for being hands off, like,
yeah,
because that's what it appeared like it looked like he was just like telling CM Punk and Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins, which I thought that segment went pretty long. I did watch the whole segment. I was like, this is a little too long for me, but I felt like, well, like once Seth came out, I felt like it started to go off a cliff a little bit. But the Punk and Drew stuff, the Punk and Drew stuff was tremendous, but it seemed like he was just like, all right, boys, here's some bullets. Go ahead and go out there. And that's what was reported afterwards, that they just run bullet points. I get the feeling like he was like letting The Rock and Cody book their own shit. And he just kind of gave the green light and was smart. I don't want to give him too much credit for that, because like it's absolutely just Cody and The Rock and probably Brian Gewirtz. But everything they did was so awesome. And The Rock calling himself the final boss is such a cool nickname. It's like that, like, I watched a Raw on Hulu on Tuesday morning, because I'm not watching a 3-hour Raw, but I watched the Hulu version. Yes. And afterwards I felt the need to take a shower, because I'm like, I was like, damn, I can't believe I just watched Raw. But I gotta say, it was pretty damn good. It was pretty damn good. So I'm never watching a 3-hour version of it. But like the only thing that they're missing is like, if they can just have badass matches, that would actually make it like more tolerable.
That's the problem with WWE. That's always been the thing with WWE. The personality stuff has always been what makes that company click. It's never been about matches. Never.
Yeah. JD, are y'all caught up on X-Men 97, man?
I didn't get to see X the third episode yet.
You didn't?
I haven't had a chance.
Oh my god!
I need to watch it. I know what's going on, kind of. Like I knew, because I read the comics. The second Jean shows up, I texted Jeremy. I'm like, Madeline Pryor, and he said yes. So I know what's happening, kind of. I don't know which is which yet, but I know what's happening. I can talk this because I've seen it before.
Okay. I have not. And so like, and I don't want to get into spoilers, but I just like everybody.
I'm fine.
Okay. Well, like Cyclops is now my new favorite superhero because he legitimately, he bagged two Jean Greys.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you know, I mean, Bruce Wayne is like a legit player, right? But Cyclops, two different Jean Greys. I mean, come on,
Mike.
Now.
Mike, I'm going to tell you something about comic Cyclops. Not only is he bagged two Jean Greys, possibly three at this point, but he also bangs Emma Frost. Are you familiar with Emma Frost?
Explain Emma Frost.
I want you to Google Emma Frost right now. My comic nerd friends are like, oh yeah, I want you to do this right now.
I want you guys to understand the dynamic here. Okay. I have never, like literally, I've never read a comic book that was not written by J.D. Oliva.
Right? I appreciate every time you say that.
Yes. But that's like literally true. So I read Deluge. I love Deluge. I think, you know, we can sell that on our YouTube channel now, right? I don't know how to do it yet, but you can connect your Amazon store to YouTube. By the way,
I can
because you can. I just learned that. So, they sent me an email.
We're gonna do that. Okay,
yeah. All right, so looks like we got like Taylor Swift a little bit.
Emma, Emma Frost, like she is a crazy hot, kind of a bitch, like former evil mutant turned good mutant who's got a really bad attitude and dresses very scantily all the time. Oh. And Scott was getting her on the side when he was with Jean. And then Jean, when she died, one of the four times she's died, gave him permission to move on and be with her. And they made out on top of her grave.
Yo, some of these Marvel writers are sick, sadistic people.
Dude, we should. Yes, 100%. So I know what's going on here. I know, I was talking with you. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure I know which is the real Jean. But I'm gonna watch the show tonight. And I'm telling you, do you know who the kid is? Do you know who their kid is?
No.
Their kid is Cable.
Oh, okay. I know who Cable is.
Yeah, Cable is Nathan Summers is Cable. That's their kid. So
okay. Yeah, because if just in case you guys in the audience, we actually lost some viewership talking.
That's
X-Men.
Fine. Wait, it's an hour into the show. If we can't talk a little X-Men 97, when can we?
Yeah. Trust me, look, X-Men 97, they release a new episode on Disney Plus every Wednesday. So every Thursday, I'm probably going to bring up, hey, did you see the latest episode?
Well, now if I got to watch the damn thing, I'll make sure if we're going to do this on the show every week, I'll make sure I'm on top of it.
Well, I know you have your superhero speak on Sunday. You didn't realize that we were doing this on Thursday.
No, you threw a curveball at me. I wasn't ready.
I wasn't expecting it, but we already hit all of our topics and we had a few minutes left. So I was like, let's talk about X-Men.
Dude, the second episode of X-Men 97 was great. The Trial of Magneto. So Magneto is one of my favorite characters in comics. I think he's the most interesting villain in all of comics because he's got motivations that are very understandable, right? He's a survivor of the Holocaust and he does not want to see oppressed people. His solution to it is we'll just fucking kill them all and then we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. I mean, you could kind of understand it. And now this is my favorite version of Magneto is the one where Charles dies and he challenges Magneto to be a better man. And because the two of them, though they were enemies, loved each other so much that Eric's like, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a better man because he believed in me and I'm going to try to make this work. So this is from the 80s. It's this era where Magneto is leading the X-Men. It's one of the most fascinating times in the history of comics. And I love this version of Magneto. And the fact that we're getting him in X-Men 97 is such a departure. And I'm reading some of these Xennials and millennials that didn't read the X-Men back then, seeing this and it's blowing their minds. And I'm like, yeah, man, Magneto is a good character because he's complicated. Right. Yeah. And the best characters are the ones that are complicated and are hard to get a hold of sometimes and make mistakes and that you don't always know what they're going to do next. And it's just, man, I fucking love that episode so much. It's great. X-Men 97 is my favorite show on TV right now. It's awesome.
Yeah. It's my favorite show. And I thought episode 3 was the best of the three so far. It was like a tearjerker, twists and turns. It was violent. It was just, it was scary at some points. I'm like, oh shit, I'm glad my kid's not here watching this because I should have been freaked out at a couple of scenes. So It's definitely like, yeah, it's definitely like if you guys are about, you know, JD and I are 40. So if you're anywhere from 30 to like 45, you probably watched the original X-Men cartoon from the 90s. This is the continuation of that. And it's really fucking good. It's actually really? Like, and it's so funny because Josiah sent us a DM. He's like, this is so hilarious. Like Mike learning about X-Men in real time. But I'm like, yeah, like I don't like, it's kind of cool for me because I don't really know. I've never read the books or anything.
And that's why this is, that's why this is fun, is because like I do my other show where I'm with a couple of the nerds and like, you know, we all know this shit and like you're not. And so like every time we talk about some of these comic book things and I hear you discovering it, it makes me smile. It makes me happy because this is stuff that I've just taken for granted since I was 10. And like hearing about someone discovering it, and it's like a culture thing, like, you know, or it's like when we share stuff and people hear like about us talking about wrestling. Like I've had a lot of people say, oh, I've listened to your podcast about wrestling. I never would have listened to a wrestling podcast before. And I'm always like, why? Like, why would you listen to our show about wrestling? But like, I've always gotten really good like reviews from people who aren't wrestling fans, but they're discovering it through us. And so to hear you do the same thing, like learning about comic stuff through these things, it just, it makes me happy. I love it.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to call it. I do have a couple more comments to get to. Cola says, I will watch on Saturday morning with a bowl of cereal. Yes, sir. And then Baby Huey says, you convinced me to watch X-Men now. Well, hey, we got Baby Huey on the X-Men train. Oh,
Cola's got a good one too. That perfect Emma Frost thing.
Oh, hold on. This one. Sorry.
Emma Frost equals tweener. Yes. Emma Frost, the ultimate tweener. But she, like, she's got a great character arc too, because she's trying to be good. Like she was a villain. Right. Like she was the evil Xavier. She had her own school for like dickhead kid mutants. And now she was part of the Hellfire Club. And then she joins the X-Men. And then like it's her redemption arc. And she's still kind of a fucking bitch. But I mean, like, she's like your fuck. It's like you got a friend who's like, God, she's a bitch, but she's like my friend. Yeah. Right. Well, she's like my bitch. Like, it's not my bitch, but she's like, I'm okay with her.
She's a real jerk, but she's like family. Right.
So, yeah, exactly. Like, that's the best way to say it. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, like, well, my sister is a bitch and I don't like her, so I don't want to use that as an example. But I mean, like, yeah, it's great character.
Yeah, but hey guys, I think that's gonna do it for us this week. I do want to make a quick announcement. So JD and I will try to get to some overtime content. It just depends on if there's stuff out this weekend. But next Sunday night, JD and I, we are going to, on our Patreon. So if you guys want to join the Patreon, you can be a part of this. Patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. We are going to do a watch along and we're going to invite you guys along with us. I'll pop the link on Patreon. You guys can click the link and you can join us. We're going to watch They Live, starring Roddy Piper. John Carpenter presents They Live with Mike and JD, watching along with you guys. We're going to watch it. This is not anything that's ever going to go on the YouTube because we'll get killed. We'll get nuked. So it's not anything. So, and it's probably like, I'll probably put the audio on Patreon, but I can't even put the video on Patreon because like, okay, like watching a wrestling match on Patreon with your friends is one thing. Watching an entire movie, that's probably like a little too much. So we're not going to do that. But anybody that is a Patreon subscriber is welcome to join us because we just can't put it out there for everybody because it'll get nuked. So become a patron. I'll pop the link in the Patreon. You can just hit the link and you can join a live feed with JD and myself. And we're going to watch They Live starring Roddy Piper. JD's been on a John Carpenter kick lately. So we're going to enjoy some John Carpenter action with Mr. Roddy Piper.
I'm going to do lately. I've been on a John Carpenter kick since 1984. I'm going to do a pre-show for this. So JD will leave a project where I'm going to talk about what gets John Carpenter to They Live. Because They Live is very much an anti-capitalist, anti-machine movie. And at this point, I'm going to talk about how at this point in Carpenter's career, he cared so little for the studio system and so little for what critics said that he made a movie that was probably about 30 years ahead of its time. That's essentially a giant middle finger at Hollywood and like everything that made up 80s culture. So I'm very excited to talk about that. And I love talking about Carpenter. He's one of my favorite filmmakers. I think in a lot of ways, a lot of his 80s work aged well because it was so far ahead of its time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he's tremendous. I love a lot of John Carpenter's movies. So, and this is probably my favorite of them all. So I really liked They Live when I was a kid, just because it had Piper in it. It had aliens. So I was like, okay, this is awesome.
My favorite is still Big Trouble in Little China, but I mean, like, yeah, yeah. They Live as a close two.
Yeah. Yeah. But hey guys, that is going to do it for us this week. Thank you everybody that joined us in the chat tonight. You guys really do help to keep the show moving. So I really appreciate you. That is all for us. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No way. From the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No way. From the track.
Hello there. My name's Neil David, and I'm the host of Euro Graps Express, the podcast exclusively dedicated to the wrestling of Europe. If it's wrestling and it happens in Europe and it's good, we talk about it. Whether it's RevPro, Progress, WXW, Passion Pro, Pro Wrestling Chaos, Pro Wrestling North, we don't care, we talk about them all. If it's good and it's exciting, I want to share it with you. We're on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Check us out on the feed. Check us out on Twitter at EuroGrapsEXP. And join us for chat about European wrestling and a little bit of chat about cheese. Hopefully see you there.